Who's first?
What did you have to be comfortable with?
You know, nothing specifically. You know, I didn't have a list, you know. You know, I just had to feel comfortable with everything, you know, with, you know, who the new head coach was going to be, you know, the continued direction of the team, you know, as far as where we were headed roster-wise and things in that nature, just the general stuff.
What was the process like for you to come to, you know, that type of comfort level?
Well, it was a drawn-out process in that, you know, there was a lot of possibilities available, and so it became a comparison thing, too.
What made you comfortable with Matt when you met him? How did you feel comfortable with him initially?
Well, we had started speaking, you know, weeks ago, and, you know, those conversations, you know, were good, in my opinion. You know, his background and, you know, where he thinks he's headed, you know, offensively, et cetera. Nothing specific.
I think in those 2.5 days that you were out of contract, did you have to clear out your office, your desk, and then bring it all back?
No. I was doing that slowly anyway.
Were you going to be able to keep most of your staff, your assistants on the defensive side of the ball?
I believe so, yes.
When you interviewed for the head coaching job, mm-hmm. What did you learn about the direction of the team, about what they wanted, and how did that affect your comfort level going forward, even if it was out of the coordinator?
You know, that wasn't really expressed a whole lot from their end during that. You know, they were asking the questions. I was doing the answering. So, and I didn't ask a lot of direct questions that way, although, you know, sometimes questions and answers branch out into subplots. But there wasn't a whole lot of that going on there.
Did they learn anything about you that they didn't already know from 3 years of being around?
Probably, but you'd have to ask Ryan, George, and Ted that.
The value of not having to start over, you have a roster with anybody, you have a system in place. What is the value of that for you going forward in the team?
There's value to it, but, you know, it wasn't a deciding factor.
You've heard Coach Nagy and Coach Elbers talk with real deference to your expertise, experience, and all that, and I'm curious.
Yeah, I haven't coached a top 10 defense every year either. But
do you expect to operate a little bit more autonomously over the defensive side, considering that the head coach, you know, is obviously an offensive guy with that type of focus?
Not really. I mean, John basically let me do everything anyway, so I don't see much difference there.
Like, what did it mean to you that so many players spoke publicly and privately in support of you to come back?
Well, it's obviously better that it's positive and not negative, you know. You know, it's good, but I don't think it's necessary, you know, in that from the regards that I think sometimes in these processes where teams are changing coaches or thinking about changing coaches or hiring coaches, I don't always think it's good to get the opinion of players sometimes because there's emotions involved there, and I think sometimes it can mislead people that are looking for something to hang a decision on. But there are some players that are good guys to bounce things off of. But, I mean, I'm generally happy that positive things were said. I'm not trying to disregard that. But I think everybody needs to be careful of that at the same time.
Are you surprised that you're back?
Surprised. No, I'm not surprised. No, from the start I knew it was an option. Could be an option.
How important guys back that have been hurt, what excites you most about working with the same guys you've been working with moving forward, guys like Leonard that are going to be back on the field?
Well, I think the most important thing we have to do is improve the guys that we already have, regardless of who we might get in the draft or free agency. I mean, I think guys like Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Danny Trevathan, Leonard, Eddie Jackson, you know, I know I'm going to miss him. I think they all have a lot more to give to us than we've seen. And it's our job to get them to improve and become even better players. You know, that will be more important to us than anybody we can acquire between now and whenever our first game is. So, you know, and I know it's always sexy to talk between now and the first game, you know, who you're going to draft, who's free agency, et cetera, but we got to get our so-called good players playing even better, and that will be critical.
Vic, how important was it to you to have an opportunity to come back and continue to coach some of the guys you've already developed to an extent?
Well, that's a positive. I like our guys. You know, I think I said it here during the season at a point that I really like coaching the group that we have. You know, my favorite time during the week was being in front of them like I'm in front of you and going over practice, you know, watching the opponent's tape, installing the plan for the week. I really liked being in front of our guys. They're a good group collectively and as individuals, and that part was appealing to me.
What was your year-end review of the strides that were made on defense this last season, and what do you think this group can become next year?
We're just started today of totally studying that. You know, we started watching some cut-ups today. There's no doubt strides were made. Not enough. You know, I think it's a wrong picture to paint that you know, the defense was great and the rest of the team wasn't. You know, we're 5-11. If we were a great defense, we'd have more than 5 wins. And, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement there, a lot. And we need to do that.
What has been your impression of Coach Nagy and how he operates over the last couple weeks?
Well, it hadn't been a couple weeks. So it's been positive, though. I think he's at a good stage in his career. You know, to get this opportunity, I think he's tacking it with enthusiasm, an open mind, knowing, open to finding out better ways to do things potentially, you know, especially since he's been under one head coach his whole career. That's not the only way to do things, and I think he's open to that. So it's been all positive.
The year at Stanford, I know it's been a few years, but what were sort of the hallmarks of Mark's and Chip's offense at Oregon? What stood out to you? What posed the biggest challenges for your defense at the time to stop?
Well, it was different. But before I answer that, you know, I was sitting there and somebody asked Mark, what has he reached out to people he knows in the NFL about coming to the NFL from college, you know, things to learn about or potential pitfalls to avoid or learning about the NFL game. And when I went to Stanford that one year, you know, I did the same thing, find out about the college game. And in the final analysis, it didn't help me at all. You know, you just got to dive in and learn and do it yourself. You know, all the things I was told by college coaches that I knew, not that they were not valid, but you still have to apply it to your situation, your players, who you're playing. And really, if I was to do it over, I wouldn't even have wasted my time doing that, to be honest with you. So, because football is football. And now I forgot your question. Oh, yeah, Chip Kelly. And yeah. Well, they were ahead of the time, their time at that point. You know, they were at the no huddle at a high speed pace. The game was spread out more. Yeah, they had an advantage, but a method advantage that people hadn't caught up to yet at that point. And they had good players doing it. You know, kind of like back in the 90s when we started the zone blitz, and we were ahead of the curve then, and we had a lot of success beating teams that possibly had more talent than we did. I think they were experiencing that at the same time, whereas now more and more people are doing it. It's still a good scheme, still has its good and bad points, but at that point, the newness was still in their favor.
Vic, you mentioned that you had options. When weighing them, did you weigh the quality of the job, the city to live in, how it affected your personal life?
Yeah, all of that.
What did anything outweigh enough?
Well, I tried to get 2 things here that they wouldn't give me. One, to give me a membership over here at Conway Farms. They wouldn't do that. and to shorten the winters, and they said they couldn't do that either. But, you know, it's all you know, it's never black and white. It's not a mathematical equation where you come up with the right answer. A lot of it just turns out to be your gut feel. Where do you think the best place is? And not necessarily for the next 12 months, but for the next, you know, six, five, six, seven, 8 years, you know. So it was appealing to me in that way.
And during the week, did you know your
answer? When did I know? You know, the day started running into each other there for a while. I don't know what day was Matt announced here.
Tuesday.
Either late Thursday or Friday.
How much of that future was maybe Mark and Matt's vision for quarterback, what they have for
the I didn't even know Mark was in the picture during that time. You know, Mitchell's part of the equation because I think he has a chance to be a really good player, you know, regardless who's coaching him. So that part was positive.
What is it about Mitchell that left a strong impression on you over the duration?
Well, you know, number one, he's got talent, you know, and you got to have talent to play in this league at any position, but particularly that one. I think he's a good worker. Yeah, I think football is important to him. He's athletic, you know, has the ability to improvise, to make plays, which you see each and every week you watch games in the league is an important quality to have. And I think he's got good leadership skills and will be a good leader.
How would you characterize your relationship with Ryan? How much of that was after making your return?
It was part of it. You know, again, it was a little piece of a big equation. It was part of it, and that was a positive.
Like, is it frustrating that you haven't gotten a shot as a head coach yet?
Not to the degree when people ask me that question that they think. You know, it's like I said, I think I've said it in here, you know, when you guys would ask me during the season, people have a picture in their mind of what they want, what they're looking for. And, you know, obviously I haven't met that criteria to those people that are looking, and I don't take it personal. I don't think I'm any less deserving or less qualified, because I know I'd do a hell of a job, but I don't take it personal. And I don't, you know, even when Ryan came in and asked me to interview for the job, you know, I said, well, fine if you want me to, but you know, I wouldn't want it to be held against the whoever you hired that I interviewed for the job, and that may make them uncomfortable. So I made sure of that.
You think this is the first coaching staff in NFL history that's had two East Stroudsburg alums on it?
It could be. He's not an alum of East Stroudsburg.
No.
He coached there. Do your research.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Vic.
Thanks, Vic.